SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Belmont Park, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM Online and at our website, stevebick.com, and despite vastly improved conditions, the Thursday card has been canceled. So let's establish that. Immediately with Dave Grenning. Dave actually had to go back upstairs. He was just down here earlier, but we'll get some of the details. And I think Pat is coming by too, Pat McKenna, who we haven't spoken to yet this week. So we'll get Pat in about 15 minutes or so. But Dave went upstairs, I think, to probably tear off a quick hit. And the reality is, air quality is going to continue to improve all afternoon, and the luxury of moving the whole card to Sunday plays into this, I imagine. But right now, I mean, the sun is out and it's hazy, but it's not nearly as bad as it was yesterday. Dave Grenning, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. You and I texted earlier this morning. I thought that the prospects were good, actually, to run, but the prudent thing under these circumstances and given the luxury of Sunday is to swap out this card for Sunday. Give everybody the details.
Okay, well, they did announce that they were canceling due, obviously, today's card. They are not necessarily just taking this card and moving it to Sunday. They will take the two stakes races and redraw them and put them as part of Sunday's card. Now, whether that means we're going to have 10, 12 races on Sunday, I don't know. But they're not just swapping the card like you and I talked about and just saying, hey, Sunday, it's, you know, Thursday's now Sunday. That would be the easy thing to do, but it's horse racing. We don't do easy. But it was an easy and prudent and smart decision to cancel today's card based on the air quality issues, A, and B, the climate that surrounds racing. I think it's just, you know, I didn't see it in the release, but this is the this is the absolute, you know, abundance of caution kind of scenario here, where, you know, you just play it safe. I don't think there was anything to gain from running today's card. Its conditions, I believe, as you mentioned right before you had me on, are expected to improve as through today and into tomorrow, and, you know, obviously into Saturday. So I think it's just smart to just, you know, put today's card aside. Hopefully things do improve, and we can get back to business tomorrow.
The air quality alert, and essentially in that remarkable way that the internet has turned everybody into air quality index experts, the alert ends at 5 o'clock today, and every indication is that Friday and Saturday are free and clear, 70 degree-ish temperatures, and from that standpoint, and given that really Friday and Saturday, Dave, are the, you know, they're the meat and potatoes of the weekend.
No question. You want things to go well tomorrow and Saturday. And look, we had two nice stakes races today and a decent card scheduled, but it just, you know, these races can wait till Sunday, and the races that are that may not be brought back for Sunday can be sprinkled back into, you know, as extra races next week and before we, you know, the rest of the meet. It's not any different really than if we canceled for snow on February 7th. You know, you just take the races that that can come back and can fill and bring them back. And the races, you know, we canceled Withers Day, right? The Withers was supposed to be February 4th. We ran it February 11th. The world didn't end. His show ran in the Withers. He won the Withers. He ran in the Kentucky Derby, and he's running Saturday in the Belmont Stakes. So all good.
Any other underpinnings or associated portions of this that people need to know?
Not that I've heard as of yet. As people know, probably do know, you know, yesterday around 6-ish or whenever I got in my car and decided to go home, they decided to put out a release that said they canceled, that training was canceled today. So
right.
both here and in Saratoga. So that was sort of a prelude. Actually, you know, in talking to some of the trainers, I think they thought that it would probably have been the air quality probably was better this morning than it might be this afternoon, and some of them felt that they could have trained. They're not upset. They're not stomping their feet that they couldn't, but you know, they felt that they, horses that were injured for tomorrow and Saturday could have come out, maybe jogged, and it just might have been beneficial to them. But again, no one's filing a protest about it. They just mentioned that the air this morning, it did seem not as brutal as it was. I don't know if you were here yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I thought I was in a science fiction movie when I looked outside.
No, it was surreal, and it what was interesting was that how quickly it changes. And actually, our friend Leslie Knopf yesterday, when I mentioned how by 11 things had really changed here, and she talked about sent me a note and said it has to do with the marine layer. I mean, people, for those that don't know the geography here, I mean, we've got Long Island Sound and we've got all kinds of bodies of water on either side of that's why it's called an island. And so you get some volatility. I mean, somebody said, well, the air quality index in Manhattan, the air quality index in Manhattan has nothing to do with what we're getting over here. And it's fascinating. I mean, did you see the time lapse video from across the bay to looking at I think from the Throgs Neck Bridge, looking at Manhattan?
Well, I saw one on the about from the George Washington Bridge, and
okay.
I figured if you can't see the George Washington Bridge, you have an issue. It's a pretty big structure. Yesterday was a bit of a surreal day, and even here, just watching it, sitting where I'm sitting now, watching it all develop yesterday was. It was kind of eerie, and even to be honest with you, Steve, walking upstairs, leaving the press box, and just walking in the hallway to go, just to take a walk, and you could smell smoke. That there was smoky there. So this is all, but it's not a situation where it's going to it's supposed to stay too much longer. So if we can get through today and things improve, I think I think we're in good shape. I was surprised that the Yankees decided to schedule two games for today. I thought they made the right call last night canceling a game, but just play one today. Why subject your fans and your multi-million-dollar athletes to two games in 6+ hours, even with the new speedy, the speed of the games up? It's a long day out there for to be out there. So I would have thought one game would have been fine, but look. I'm in horse racing, not baseball, so I'll try to stay in my lane now.
And there was there's no ticket. I'll check with Pat on this, but there's no ticket concerns and things for this. Was a standard race day, right? There wasn't any tickets associated.
I don't know the answer to that. If it was a bundled type of thing, if it was a 3-day, if there were any 3-day packages offered. I know they do call this the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there's a bundle that included Thursday or if it was just a standard admission. So he just walked behind me to go back upstairs, but I would check with Pat on that. Pat McKenna.
We're going to see Pat in a little bit. Andy Serling, actually, now Andy, the most important part about the timing of this release, it allows Andy to not have to come out and then go home.
I do think that's why it was announced at 8:45 and not 9:45. I think I think he had a train ticket for 9:45, 9:50. So yes, that was good. He can use that for another trip into back out to Long Island.
I love it. All right. Well, Dave. I appreciate it. You're going to go bagel-less today. And as I asked you, I mean, everybody's gotten familiar with the AQI, the Air Quality Index. How about the BQI, the Bagel Quality Index? Yesterday, was yesterday up to snuff, the tulip?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you saw my text back at you. It was a little, this everything bagel from yesterday had a little bit too much of the salt bagel in it. So I'm going to have to, you know, B-minus on the Clocker report there.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll have to see. That. Wow. All right. I also heard from Mike Welch asking why no bagel, and I tell him that the bagel delivery service is for beat reporters only that are that are tromping the backstretch.
I hope for him, his sake, that he actually was able to sleep. You know, he's been out here, you know, doing the clocking at 5:30 every morning, and however early, you know, probably gets here even before that. I hope that he was actually able to sleep in this morning and not have to, you know, because obviously he wouldn't be coming out to clock anything. I hope the alarm clock didn't go off and that his human alarm clock didn't wake him up at,
wow,
like, you know, 5.
Yeah, that's so funny you mentioned that, because when people say, you know, when there's an occasion like this, or, you know, when we know, like, when the heat index thing hits in the summer and they cancel a day ahead, people say, oh, you can sleep in. Yeah. When you get, good luck to you with that. I mean, if you get up every morning at between 4 or 4:30, your body tells you, you're not just turning off the alarms. At least I'm not I can't do that.
I'm with you. I guess the only thing that you can do is you don't have to. You can savor the cup of coffee from at home for maybe 5 minutes longer, as opposed to having to, you know, get in here and try and navigate the Southern State Parkway and the, you know, Cross Island Parkway to duck and dive and get here on time.
By the way, I got to slip in one plug today, because I'm at, you know, I'm being ferried around by Team Siaka, and Wednesday nights is their regular visit to D'Angelo. D'Angelo's, have you been?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wow, good one. Outstanding. I don't mean to take away from our, you know, from the mountaintop, from King Alberto.
Well, there are other meals of the day, right? Man cannot live on everything bagel with cream cheese alone.
Or
King
pizza. And by the way, when is the date of the Jay Privman appearance scheduled?
I believe he's already been. I believe Fox had their, because of him, I think they had their staff meeting or a first staff meeting yesterday. I did get a text photo of a piece of pizza on a plate, and that can only mean one thing. So I'm not sure what his plans are and what Fox has him doing today and tomorrow, but I'm sure, I'll just put it this way. If they don't bring him to King Umberto's, I'm sure they'll bring King Umberto's to him.
Well,
which may only count as a half a trip, but you'll have to check with the bookmakers on that one, FanDuel and DraftKings, and see what how they adjust their lines to something like that.
Well, for those that, if you haven't, I don't know if it's been publicized, but Jay signed on by Fox to work with them on the broadcast, and so he, as we were speculating that there would be a Jay Privman at all three Triple Crown venues, as it turned out this year, and it happened.
And with the Breeders' Cup being in California, you know we're going to see him there too. So.
That's a home game. Home game.
Yeah. Well, next year it's a really home game. Next year he might actually be.
That's true.
He might be the driver. He might be, you know, it could be Morgan Freeman driving us to the track.
Now you're talking. There you go. I love it. Dave Grenning, everybody. DRF Grenning has it first, has it right, and I guess we got the afternoon off, sort of. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Dave Grenning, and there's your details. And I want to, we get help from all corners here. Our friend Steve Carlin, who, of course, is a partner in Our Horses, and Steve, long associated with Team Valor, as well as a partner, and with Eclipse Thoroughbreds. And Steve said today was just a regular ticketed day, not involved in the festival packaging that the festival style seating arrangements were Friday, Saturday. So nobody has to worry about, you know, reorienting on that front. I am a little surprised that they're going to handle that with the two stakes, because you know the natural thing to do is just take this whole card and run it on Sunday. I certainly was hoping for that because I was very confident. I you know, this morning when I got up and I was waiting for the skies to at least, you know, get a little bit of light to them. And you could see the moon. You could see detail of the moon. It wasn't, you know, just orange. You could see, you know, the Sea of Tranquility. I couldn't see the, you know, the golf ball up there, but but I even in the picture I took with the phone, you can see the detail of the moon. So I thought, you know what, we're way better than we were on Wednesday morning, and knowing that the alert was going to end at 5, essentially, I thought, you know what, 3 o'clock start, we should be okay. But I, at the same time, as Dave kind of referenced, and I'm sure as Pat McKenna will also flesh out when he joins us, in terms of the era, and given that so many other venues had already canceled for the day. You know, Woodbine is canceled, and Delaware, of course, got out in front of it with the Wednesday Thursday. Monmouth, I know, canceled training. And of course, they're supposed to run tomorrow. The other part of it, if you, you know, Airstream for Airstream buffs that are intrigued by all this, what seemed to have happened is the airflow was pushing the smoke to the west, and it is kind of scooping down kind of below the metropolitan area, and even, you know, more down toward Mid-Atlantic and D.C. So it really felt like we were going to be okay. Right now, they're actually, as we wait for Pat, they're sealing the track, because there was actually, in addition to worrying about the smoke, there was also the potential for a little bit of rain this morning, apparently. And again, right now, I mean, the sky, you look up and it's bluish. There's just a little bit of haze. I mean, this is, frankly, it looks like any, you know, potential early summer day in the region. So, anyway. All right. I mean, I was so confident about this that I actually did the write-up. It's at Derby Trail, and I hope that this whole thing isn't scuttled, because I actually was pretty pleased with. I thought there were a couple of opinions that and a couple of horses on today's card that would have been fun. I mean, if they keep the general slate intact. There's a couple of horses to watch for out of this, including that, you know, there was an 11 furlong allowance, second level allowance for fillies and mares, and Parnak caught my eye at 8-1, as well as Strikingly Spun at 6-1. I didn't think that the favorites, you know, had to win, and then in the stake, I mean, the stake, obviously, as Dave said, they're going to just redraw the stakes. That may end up proving a beneficial element to Red Carpet Ready. In fact, watch for that. That 7-horse field for the Jersey Girl. And I'm sure that Rusty Arnold and Patrick Lewis and Bo Bromigan, I bet you they all would appreciate a redraw and get her off the rail. But I tell you, I was going to play around with Aunt Becca in there, the Cherie DeVoe that I mentioned when we looked at the field. I thought that Aunt Becca had a every opportunity in that spot, 6-1. And you know, Chocolate Gelato is coming off the shelf, so chance to get her on her heels a little bit. So. Aunt Becca caught my eye. And then in the Wonder again, I ended up putting Juniper's Moon on top. I thought that I'm just gonna reach for the card. Juniper's Moon, Tony Dutrow, and Javier, 6-1, and Be Your Best. We talked about yesterday. Be Your Best at 8-1, but again. A spot where a field, when Ron Anderson, for those of you that just probably caught the replay, and by the way, I did take screen shots of both Johnny and Joel Rosario's mounts, and I'll put that up so you can use them as sort of a tick list for those of you that listen. A lot of you take notes, so we'll do that. I'm just checking with Pat. Maybe he wanted me to phone him. Let's see what. Let's see what we're in the building. This is not a small. This is not a small venue. Oh, he says he's coming. So all right. So we'll wait for Pat and get him live instead of by phone. All right. Yeah. If you hadn't looked, I mean. Up and down here, I mean, the three Chads, and of the three, Revelita, I preferred, and then probably Prerequisite, and then Venezia. But I want to get those two prices involved. And, of course, it's funny, I'm not gonna get caught flat-footed on Spansive either after missing that second start. And certainly Ron Anderson seemed, if not effusive, he seemed positive. You know, the one race that probably it might be a little beneficial in terms of disappearing or being reoriented on a different card was that State Bred Filly and Mare 7 furlong turf 40,000. Group that was going to be the nightcap today, and that was a messy affair. I tried to go find horses that were, as we sometimes say, and I don't mean to cast any aspersions, but the proverbial frogs with the least warts. Yeah, you try to find horses that haven't exhausted their chances to some degree. So droppers, horses coming off layoffs, horses moving to the turf for the first time, all are preferable to ones that, and it is early in turf season still, so you can be a little forgiving, but there were horses like that Daddy's Little Boss Lady for Falcone with the 5-pound bug Torres, and there was that Maggie was interesting, actually, the at 15-1, who I put on top. And what was appealing about this Central Banker filly out of a horse chestnut mare, in fact, that's a familiar name, that Casablanca Babe, but Maggie was getting first Lasix, making 3-year-old seasonal debut. She's a Central Banker. Central Bankers get better as they mature. And this horse left the scene with a narrow beat. In fact, I remember, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember that race because we laughed about it. That was the race where Maggie T beat Maggie. two horses, two two-year-olds that somehow managed to both, you wouldn't think that they would allow both names, but what happens sometimes in the Jockey Club online names system, they'll get a submission and they'll research it and they'll approve it, and before it gets codified in the system, a second horse might come along with a similar name, and it when they go to look at it, it hasn't taken root, And so somehow he ended up with this horse named Maggie and a horse that that beat her, Maggie T. Remember we talked about this last summer? Or last November? Yeah, it was November at Aqueduct. I remember laughing about it. So John Kirby's got this one and making a seasonal debut. So you could expect some natural improvement. Been away since November, so 6 months, and moving to the turf. Central Banker, not spectacular by any means in terms of turf, but there's a few things to recommend on the family side. So I thought Maggie T at 15-1 made plenty of sense. No one makes more sense than Pat McKenna, who joins us now. What you thought? We're loose and free, whatever you want. Headset, I think. Although that hair, holy cow. Yeah? You're going to go with the mic? Go with the headset. The headset is the, it's recommended, highly recommended. It's Thursday, you know, by the way. I didn't see you here until Thursday this week. It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Where you been?
I'm right here. Okay. Right here. Right in this spot where I've been for what feels like decades.
For how many days? When did you arrive?
I've been here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
Well, you said you weren't going to be around
Monday. You're such a well-oiled machine. You don't even need us.
I don't. I look at this. I procured this table myself.
And a tablecloth.
Well, the tablecloth was already on it. I boosted it from the Belmont Cafe.
Okay.
All right. And I do miss the green. I do love the green Belmont Park stretchy tablecloths. That's my favorite. So I'll forgive it for this year. Anything going on today? That how's the week been for you, Pat?
It's been good.
You know, you can be in the communications business a long time, and you know when we have that ceremony for you in the winner's circle somewhere. When the time comes and you retire, and you're going to be able to say,
well versed in crisis communication,
exactly every single conceivable thing that could have happened at one point or another.
I woke up yesterday morning pretty early, and I was driving listening to the radio.
You were listening to the show.
I was. Well, yes, but flipping back and forth between
what?
Between news and horse racing news, and it occurred to me that this was now going to be something. Got to the office, a couple of reporters came in, and I sort of thought it's easy to, you know, this thing evolved so quickly. We were at a press conference yesterday at the Garden City Hotel with the county executive and a few other elected officials, and at that point, it was, you know, the message was, you know, we're working through this. It's a fluid situation. Nothing has been canceled. Obviously, if you have a pre-existing condition or serious asthma, then you should, you know, take precautions, stay inside. I think yesterday afternoon was pretty darn scary at about 2 o'clock. It was apocalyptic is the only word that comes to mind. But the long and the short of it is that we obviously canceled training both this morning, both at Saratoga and at Belmont. Just a few minutes ago, we canceled the live program this afternoon. But we are optimistic that, you know, the conditions are improving. It feels better this morning. Looks better, so we hope that we don't see a repeat of yesterday this afternoon, and we can get back to business tomorrow.
We did see that that the alert, the air quality index alert, ends at 5 o'clock. I thought when I got up, I told everybody I thought when I got up I mm-hmm. couldn't smell any smoke. That mm-hmm. that was positive number one. I could see, you know, craters on the moon, literally. I mean, even with a camera phone.
Yep.
I thought, you know what? If this airflow is if it's all working, and the 3 o'clock start, I thought would have given a bit of a help potentially.
Yeah, it's just I think it's, you know, today, you know, by virtue of canceling the card, obviously in the best interests of everyone.
Sure.
Hopefully we can get a little time and space to allow this to clear out with any luck. But I think Monday, Tuesday this week, it was a slight nuisance and an oddity. And yesterday it obviously took a turn to something much more dramatic. and a lot more scary in a lot of ways. Just incredibly unsettling to drive across the bridge and not be able to see any kind of New York City skyline. But all that said, priority is the safety of horses and riders and everyone that's working so hard in the barn area 365 days a year. So let's keep them in mind. You know, again, the hoping for pretty significant improvement by tonight into the morning, and let's get back to live racing and training tomorrow.
Outstanding. And on a couple of other topics then, let's turn our attention to Belmont Stakes Day and the festival, the splitting up of these, spreading the races out a little bit into Friday. These two cards have had uniform agreement about the depth and the quality. Andy and I are going to handicap next after our visit, and because now Andy's got the day free, so it's convenient. Rich Migliori's in the city, mm-hmm. doing Fox and Friends. We sent him into
that is correct.
Into Manhattan, and so he's going to stop by afterward as well. Pat, the Fox, and I can't get anybody from Fox yet. They're in production meetings, but one thing that has moved very quickly and has not, I don't know if it's gotten much attention, because I'm not 24/7 on the social media side. The challenge for everybody involved with a production team that is completely new to the scene in terms of Fox. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of crossovers, but it's a lot to ask on the fly to a network to come in and do something for the first time.
Sure, but also an enormous opportunity to reshape some of the coverage. I think Fox has demonstrated their commitment to broadcasting the very best thoroughbred racing, not only at Belmont and Saratoga, but really throughout the year.
Right.
I mean, we'll exceed 1,000 hours on Fox. I think you've heard Mike Mulvihill talk in some depth about what he sees in terms of the value of horse racing to their brand, obviously their investment in Naira Betts. They're now a stakeholder in thoroughbred racing in New York in a major way. And it's a huge opportunity. I think fans will be really pleased with the quality and the energy and the excitement of the broadcast on Saturday. And then the other thing that we're able to do by virtue of the Fox partnership is run a parallel broadcast at the same time that's geared toward your listeners, frankly. People who know the game, people who live and breathe the game, horse players who understand exactly what's going on track, because that is one of the challenges of broadcasting a Triple Crown race, is that you have a universe of casual fans, a universe of fans who may never have watched a sport, who are tuning in for the first time or for the first time in a long time. And, you know, sure, there are challenges, but I think what fans will see at home on Fox starting at 4 o'clock on Saturday is a real commitment to telling the stories that make our game so special.
Some of the I did have the details. I know Tom Amos involved, and
Carissa Thompson.
Carissa Thompson,
mm-hmm.
Amos, and Chris. Falica.
From ESPN. You. Yeah, or formerly. ESPN.
And this is his first, if I'm not mistaken, this is his first Fox, his first foray on Fox, right?
I think so.
I think it is.
Yeah. Kurt Menefee is going to be holding down the anchor desk as well. A lot of people will recognize Kurt from his NFL broadcast.
How about that?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. He's a pro's pro by all indications. He joined us for the draw on Tuesday, clearly interested in doing the research and you know, diving into this to this year's Belmont Stakes.
Maggie's going to be doing tricks on horseback, I understand.
Maggie will be on horseback. Yep.
She's actually going to be on both shows. You know, one thing for those that didn't, and I can't find what I was looking for, the all the Fox details, but the way they press release that, Pat, was interesting, where they said they called the, essentially, the what we watch as the Fox show, as you referenced, the alternate feed, the alternate broadcast for seasoned horse players.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great. Yep. And that they, because let's be honest, and again, I'm not smearing NBC, but one of the frustrations that players have is when they're at this time of year, when we have the major events and the feeds are blacked out essentially, and they have to watch the network, and they Derby in particular, the grousing about just the lack of consciousness of of the rank and file horse player.
No, exactly.
It's frustrating.
And I think broadly speaking on television, there is a choose your own adventure element to some of the major sports telecasts. Look at ESPN, the national championship football game. You can watch in any half a dozen different formats at this point. You can watch with different announcers representing different universities. So I think to be able to offer a differentiated kind of telecast is really important. And again, it's also a reflection of Fox and their understanding that this is a game about the horse players.
The work, Pat, we haven't talked about my first visit since the work started in earnest on the tunnel and on some of the pre prep, the pre Belmont reimagined efforts.
Yeah, phase one. Yeah. I mean, what we're looking at now is an infield that's a bit of a sandbox, but the tunnel is complete. There's an irrigation pond here on the far turn that replaced a decorative pond that, believe it or not, was just a few inches deep, just like the one here. So that irrigation pond will service the two turf courses. It will get us off of city water, much more environmentally friendly and efficient to be able to water these turf courses, especially as we replace them next year. So the inner turf and the synthetic track will be installed, hopefully complete by the spring of 2024, as well as the complete replacement of the inner turf. Following that, replace the main track and the other turf course. So, yeah, the heart of this facility is the racing services and tracks themselves. So that is phase one of this broad redevelopment and modernization. We'll begin the construction, optimistically, following the 2024 Belmont Stakes and hope to be complete for the 2026 Belmont Stakes. It's a complicated multi-year project involving demolishing one of the largest physical structures anywhere on the eastern seaboard, the one we're sitting underneath. It's about 1.3 million square feet. We'll replace it with a building that's roughly 275,000 square feet, and the rest of that space will become park. And I've heard Dave O'Rourke say it many times this week, one of the primary goals is to put the park back in Belmont Park, and that's incredibly important. It's what we see in Saratoga. In large measure, what makes Saratoga so special is that backyard experience, and we want to be able to take those lessons and apply them here. It's a different market. It's a different place. I think it's really exciting to be able to envision a Belmont Park that is the center of this community once again, where you have families and friends utilizing the park space, being able to see horses compete in the afternoon, train in the morning. In a dramatically different environment than this overwhelming building. I mean,
it's a monolith.
Certainly want to construct something that honors the history and traditions of Belmont Park, which is as iconic a piece of property that exists in the sport. But at the same time, to be able to open up green space, to construct a facility that's flexible for an event like the Belmont Stakes, an event like the Breeders' Cup, but also feels intimate and exciting on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon is the goal.
How close are we to seeing renderings and architect drawings?
Towards the end of the summer, there is a process in place. We would submit documents and plans to the Franchise Oversight Board for their approval in July or August. I'm not sometime kind of midsummer. And then from there, we'll start to see, and the public will start to see what's in store, at least in the initial.
Is an RFP in?
The word gets thrown around a lot, but it's certainly true in this case. And again, we're optimistic that we'll get back to business tomorrow.
Pat McKenna, everybody. And Pat, as always, appreciate it. There he goes. Pat McKenna, folks. I see TV cameras. Pat's like a moth to a flame when it comes to TV camera. No, it's not true. We can turn right around, though. We've got Andy Serling next. We've got Joe Longo stopping by as well. I see Georgie Velasquez over here, my man. He's over there. Look at him. Look at him. The greatest. Andy's going to be, this is going to be a top flight Andy Serling visit. I guarantee it. Because he is sending me one-liners via text, and you're making me laugh over here. Andy Serling,
a lot of stuff going on here, and I really feel like we cover all of it.
Well, Pat got called away by television cameras. He's like a moth to a flame.
Well, I mean, you don't even realize what a multimedia star is. You think the only real action he gets is your show, and like nothing could be further from the truth. He's like an international celebrity. He's kind of like he's kind of like the Austin Powers of racing. Only he wasn't alive then.
Well, he does. Certainly, the hair. He's got the hair going for him.
I wish I had hair like that. Believe me.
Right?
Great hair envy when I see Pat. How is it out there?
It's fine. I'm not gonna say we shouldn't have canceled, but it's absolutely the sun's out.
The one thing, I understand, there's a lot of narratives that it would be nice if they were different. And some of the things we've certainly brought ourselves from time to time. But I wish that people would take notice that we care about everybody involved in the sport, whether it's human or equine. And our fans, we don't want people, nobody should be put in a situation that's compromising. And I think, there's sometimes people act as though that we do that, and we don't. Do you think this is something we wanted to do? Do you think anybody wanted to cancel today? Give me a break. But it's something we felt we had to do.
No, agreed.
Listen, it might be 3:00 and you're out there and say, and a lot of people are going, I can't believe we're not racing. But better to be there than the opposite, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because you're dealing, this is different than anything
right. Well,
really.
Race another day, yeah. Right. It's the expectation is, as we said in the release, that, we're optimistic that it's going to be okay going forward. And listen, I'm in the city, and it's a sea change looking out. I talked earlier. I can see New Jersey almost as clearly as I can on any day in July. I'll tell you that.
There you go. There you go. In fact, I think that's opening on Broadway on a clear day. You can see Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Make that joke, but yeah. So anyway, it is what it is, and then we'll move forward, and we still expect to have a great weekend of racing, and that's what matters. And listen, it's not. There's a lot of people far more adversely compromised by situations like this than us. You can always look at any situation like that, and it's worse somewhere else. And we all tend to look at how things affect our own little insular world. But whatever. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But you move on.
Yes.
I think the uncertainty is the frustrating part too. Right? Will we race? Won't we race?
Well,
there's no longer any uncertainty.
Yeah, exactly, and it opens things up for us to. If everybody can concentrate on Friday and Saturday, and boy, it's going to take some concentration. The two terrific cards, Andy. Let's dive into it, and let's start with tomorrow.
I've already done the concentrating.
That's we count on you for that.
Okay, let me just do something there. Okay, let's get out tomorrow. I'm going to tape videos for the mile Belmont tomorrow. It's going to take them today, but I'm not going to do it now. It's incredible.
Well, the PP. I mean, obviously the PPs. I know the challenge of digging through the piles. I'm going to start with the Just a Game.
Let me. You know, it's a lot of muting going on at Twitter. It's a very busy time for muting. let's go in order. Let's start with Friday. So let's go in order of stakes.
Excellent.
Let's see. So I guess that probably is the Just a Game. My picks are available for Friday on the website, and I'll put up Saturday momentarily.
Oh, cool.
I'm proud to doing it.
All right.
I just have to finalize a couple picks. I have to send them. Okay, I got to do that right when I'm done here. Listen, an Italian's probably going to win this race. I don't think you need me to tell you that. I don't have a knock on her. I just want to take a small shot against her. And I'm picking a horse that all of my smart friends have mocked me for picking, which is fine, and they're probably right. But I think I can at least make a reasonable case that this horse could finish second here, the longest shot on the board, and fill out the exact, and that's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And my argument for New Year's Eve is that if you look at the Modesty, she's the only horse that made any kind of effective outside close. Both the winner and the second horse were on top, either on or right on top of the pace, and enjoyed very cozy inside trips while she swung around the field, and she made a real run, and she just didn't finish. Why are we convinced that she's not more effective going shorter? She ran a longer races last year, mostly because that's where the purse money was. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's for the prestige and purse money. Are we really sure? And if Brendan Walsh seems to think that cutting her back to a mile is an interesting thing, then who am I to argue with him? You know what I mean? And at a price, I think, you know, the Widener can be very kind to that running style. And I know with the rails coming down, you run the risk of obviously having a very strong inside. But having said that, the rails have been out so far. This is particularly true on the inner, all meet. We've never been on the inside. I don't know that it's likely that we're going to have some sort of acute inside bias as much as the first five or six pads. You know what I mean? We just haven't really run any of the ground close to the rail in a while. So I'm not sure it's going to be one of these things that couldn't help her. And so I thought she was an interesting horse. I'm not as sold on Spenderella as everybody else. She's okay. She obviously is probably the biggest threat. Wakanaka and Speak of the Devil, they have done nothing for me to indicate that they are any kind of threat whatsoever, and I feel like New Year's Eve might be a little bit of a wild race horse. That's all.
I love the approach. I mean, that's a way that, you know, you can focus in and hopefully
do something.
Exactly.
You know, knock, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, we all been a lot of losers, so I'm pretty much okay with that. So I think it's in New York is the next stake.
It is the next stake, and boy, Andy, this thing... grade one and deservedly, and a preview way down the road of Breeders' Cup.
Right. I mean, listen, to suggest that We're Like Goddess isn't the worst to beat is ludicrous, obviously. She obviously is the worst to beat. She's the worst to beat. That's all. There's no other way to look at it. But I do think it's fair to say that the horses she's going to run against that are more the mile and an eighth types, as opposed to the mile and three-eighths, a mile and a half horses, are better horses. So I think there's an argument that this is probably the deepest field she's faced since the Breeders' Cup. Do you think that's fair?
Of course.
Since the Breeders, and forget about the Breeders' Cup turf last year. I mean the Breeders' Cup that she should have won.
Right.
You know, the one when she probably didn't get the best of trips in there. And I'm going to try to beat her on the front end with a horse that'll be forward in market segmentation, who seems to be improving and, you know, just absolutely crushed that field last time. And I respect Didia. I think she's fine. But once again, she enjoyed that comfortable inside trip last time out, which I think was very advantageous. I don't think Shantasara has shown to be the kind of horse she was. Obviously, she just never seems to have really recovered from whatever issues she had. Mikula could improve in the distance as she did last year and getting to Belmont so she could get better. And she, too, was off the rail last time, 2.5, 3, 4 wide around the track so she could run better. But I'm going to try to beat her on the front end. So I'm going to take a shot with Marcus Segmentation. Not a big one. And I have a lot of respect for her. Like, much like in Italia, I have a ton of respect for her. She's way the horse to beat. And I think to say otherwise is a little bit silly. Would you disagree?
Oh, no, not at all. The horse that I think offers some intrigue, and I just want to check price, 5-1. Didia, how do you not respect Didia here?
Well, I don't think it's a question of respect. I mean, you know, I would never use that. You know, this term that you're not respected and you're not picking a horse. She had an extraordinarily cozy trip last time, and I think it dresses her up a little bit. That's all.
Fair enough. No, I understand
but
that.
We know she can handle the distance. She's run effectively, and listen, I'm always happy when Nacho does well. So, but I just think she had the run of the race last time out. She liked the second horse. They stayed ground the whole way.
Well, and you know, when people look at these PPs, you know, obviously your eyes focus on the stateside efforts. She has not won 4 straight. She's won 7 straight.
She won 8 and 9.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking her.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm not.
Serious horse.
She's certainly in the mix. But this is a tougher situation for her that she's having, that's all.
All right, that gets us, Andy, to a absolutely wonderful edition of the Acorn.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different opinions to possibly have here. You know, I think it's an interesting test of the Kentucky Oaks because Dorf Vader didn't run badly and certainly is potentially a contender.
Yep.
And if you like the Kentucky Oaks as a race, then Pretty Mischievous is going to be very tough to beat. She ran terrific in that race, you know, right on top of the pace, wide the whole way, blew open the race and held off, you know, and still held on. She was good. But are you at all concerned with how bad the Alley's Look ran in her subsequent race in California? I don't think it's you can just completely ignore it, can you?
I don't know. That's an interesting. I don't do a lot of that.
No, I do, and I think you have to at least acknowledge it.
Fair enough.
So, and I'm not. Listen, I'm going to be very surprised when Money's Gold wins this race in a mile of 16th. I'm not going to deny her talent, but, and listen, she lost to a good horse in Red Carpet Ready. So I'm not going to say, well, she ran so much worse without Lasix. Well, I mean, she still ran a 92 buyer and she lost to a good horse, but I'm skeptical of the distance and clearly randomized as a wild card.
Yep.
I'm going to assume the figures you look at have her very fast in breaking her maiden.
That is correct.
And the question was hers. We don't know if she can be as effective rating. Chad Brown's confident that she can. You know me. I say every trainer thinks their horse can rate. You know? So, you know, and much as I respect Chad, I'm always reticent. You know, I mean, when he's told me that in the past, he's been right. You know, like it's something, you know, he said to me with early voting, and I, you know, gave him a look, and he was right. We'll see. Let me put it this way. Isn't there a legitimate chance that Randomized is the best horse in the race? And she's going to be in the 5-1 range?
Well, the beauty of Randomized in a race like this is that she's the unknown quantity. Although, I think if you're going to have this discussion about her, don't we have to discuss Good Girl, Bad Habits, the Brittany Russell filly?
We do, but is she really that fast? I mean, Time for US has her fast. Buyer does not. Does the Thoroughgraph have her fast?
Thoroughgraph has her not just fast, but faster than Randomized.
Okay. I don't believe it, but I'll believe when I see it. But hey, you're not wrong. She's certainly won easily in her starts. Yeah, that's fair. That's fine. She's 2-0. So, listen, she could be, you know, she could be, yeah. I mean, I think it's a race full of unknowns. Listen, the scene didn't run that badly last time.
Nope, she did not.
She could stretch out and be, you know, she could stretch out a little bit and be effective here. I mean, it's George Vader didn't run badly last time. He's moving to George Weaver, which certainly isn't a bad move, I'll tell you that.
No, and she, the work, Mike, I had Mike Welch on Monday. He talked about her work from the weekend and raved about how.
Can you tell Mike Welch that Amirati is not heading the poker?
Why? Did he? Was that?
That's what the story said.
Oh.
I think there's a favorite in that race, so it's pretty good, right?
We'll get.
That might be the most likely winning favorite all weekend, right?
But I tell you what, though, that may be a race, though, Andy. That the approach you discussed with Just a Game, that may be a race where you can find yourself a price to use with Shea Pierre and make money.
Maybe. Okay.
Every race
is like that.
That's a good one.
The 2 mile race. I mean, you know, I'm usually trying to beat these Godolphin horses, but I'm not trying to beat Siskiny.
Yeah.
Right. Better horses.
Exactly. That
distance is his friend, and I mean, the one sort of knock on him is his best races have all come in Dubai.
Which is, yeah, that's a good point, actually, that...
You know, so I would... That worries me a little bit. I think the interesting horse in this race is L'Imperator, who I pick second. He has clearly shown in those jump races that he has no problem with distance. And Percy Warner, as you well know, 2.25 miles there might be 2.75 anywhere else.
That's correct.
And he's got... he's got turf form that can win this race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would not fall asleep on him, and I think a lot of people will be looking at the 11 for Joseph O'Brien, high definition. I did put him third because I know he can go long, but it's been a long time since he had good flat form.
Well, and 15 to 1 on L'Imperator is pretty tasty.
Yeah, so I'm gonna use him as my other there. I'm interested. I think Bubble Rock is the worst team in the Intercontinental. Bubble Rock, if you look at her PPs and just look at her sprints, and I'm not talking 6.5 at Kentucky Downs, and that was also off close to a 6-month layoff. I'm talking about her earlier career sprints. This is a very good sprinter, and they just made the mistake of running her route races last year. And she even won Mrs. Revere, but the reality of her is that she's a very talented sprinter. And she ran extremely well last time, so I don't have a knock on her. I don't like Baystorm as much as some others, but obviously she's pretty consistent. I like Sarah Harper.
There you go. Now you're talking.
She's another one that made a wide move last time, and you know she's got turf pedigree. I thought she was interesting last year at Saratoga. She probably needed that race. She ran well last time. I thought she was dangerous, so I picked her, you know.
I hear that, and I made a case yesterday with Ron Anderson here. I also told people to take a very close look at Amy C. With Phil D'Amato showing up here.
Not for me, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, David Argona is making a case for Clitheroe to me, the Grand Motion horse. She beats so much lesser, but his argument's a very fair one. She actually ran impressively in that race.
Interesting.
Andy, so,
well, before we talk Saturday, tell everybody, Andy, what the schedule is from a broadcast standpoint for Talking Horses and the like. We got a 12:50 post.
Well, Talking Horses tomorrow will be the normal time.
Okay.
It's after 11:30. And Sarah's going to be on with me both days. And then Saturday it is 9:30 until, I think, 10:50 with the first post at 11:20. So it'll be 9:30 to 10:50.
Very good. 9:30.
As far as, you know, Fox will be on all day. I think it's pretty much FS1 all day, except maybe 7:30 to 8 on Saturday. And, of course, it'll be on Big Fox from 3 to 7:30. I think it might be a little late getting on there depending on the USFL game that starts before it. But we'll always be on FS1. And, you know, there's two broadcasts. I mean, there's our broadcast, which I believe goes from 11 until 8, is the, you know, the whole day. And there will be the Big Fox broadcast, which is their show from 4 to 7:30. They'll be taking our FS1 show on Big Fox as well from, you know, whenever we start after the USFL game at 3 until they all the, you know, the big guns come in on at 4 o'clock. But, you know, we have two different sets, and obviously people, you know, sporadically. Maggie is, I think Maggie is the only regular member of the team that's involved with the big show. It's Kurt Menefee and Tom Amos and Mike Smith on the big set. But that's the press release. People can read all about that. But we'll have another set, I think, in the paddock. And, you know, and then people, you know, I imagine will be playing, using Maggie on our show as well. She'll be on horseback. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know all of her duties for us. And Acacia, obviously, will be playing a big role as well as far as the paddock and interviewing stuff. And then different people at different times and different sets.
Outstanding.
I'm on from 3 to 7:30. I'll be with Eve and Gary.
Excellent.
And we're looking forward to it. We're excited. I mean, I love the idea of having the two different shows. You know, people that want to watch different shows or try the different ones have a choice. You know, clearly, you know, there's going to be an enormous difference. You know, people will be watching on Big Fox, the big network. But, you know, for our regular fans that watch us on a more regular basis, that want to see us and, you know, be a little more gambling focused, we'll be available on FS1.
Well, and I told Pat how much I think players appreciated even the way Fox merchandise. You mentioned the press release where they said, the full alternate broadcast for serious horse players, available. And that's just a tip of the cap. You know?
Fox has been, listen, I'm ready to show for any and all. As I should. I love these people that say you're a shill. It's like, yeah.
Yep.
If you're not a shill, you're not doing your job. So, and I love all these people with these great high moral standards that must have never had a job. And if you're not shilling for the place you work for, you shouldn't be working for them, frankly. But that's another issue. But Fox is, I don't think we could ask for a better partner than Fox. And, you know, somebody's going to say to me, well, you've been preempted for volleyball. So I said, okay, fine. The only hours we're on Fox a year?
Pat,
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, Pat,
well over 1,000.
Pat said 1,000 hours.
It's more than 1,000.
How about that?
It's more than 1,000, believe me, because I'm on a lot of them.
That's true.
And proudly on a lot of them. And, you know, so, yeah, you want to pick up a few hours here and there we're not on. And listen, don't think we're not frustrated, too, when we're not on. You know, no, we have this commitment, and we don't want to be on at all time, and it's not. But to suggest that they haven't made an enormous commitment to us is just ridiculous. It's just the numbers. The numbers don't lie, Steve.
Exactly. That's right.
Their support for them and, you know, for our racing and for New York Racing Association is unparalleled.
Numbers.
And listen, I appreciate that people like our show so much that they're pissed off when we're not on. It's a good thing for
that's
people
right.
to imagine.
That's right.
On.
That's
you know,
right.
That's a compliment. So
that's right.
And I hope they know we get frustrated. You know, we can be frustrated too because we always want to be on. But I mean, to point fingers at Fox and pretend in some way they are a great partner. Well, that's just lies the truth.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So anyway,
all right. Let's go to Saturday. Yep. True North.
So. I respect elite power a lot, but aren't we a little afraid that today's flavor can wire the field?
That's an interesting approach. Yes.
He's fast. I thought his Carter was very good. I'll tell you what, he runs the Carter here, I'll take my chances with him.
Oh, that half furlong, cutting back the half furlong goes a long way.
Me going in 6.5 might not be great either, but I've never been his biggest fan. He's kind of winning me over. Now, to be fair, he's had a number of trips. He's very much with the racetrack and stuff, but I'm always afraid of speeds like that. I'm not knocking elite power, but let me say something about elite power. I always felt that Jackie's Warrior was being overrated. Well, Jackie's Warrior, in most of his career, was faster than this horse. It seems like the best race he ran was the race in Saudi Arabia last time. Are you certain that his races in the Breeders' Cup Sprint and or Vosper beat today's flavor?
Oh, not just today's flavor. How do you think Giroux positions Strobe from?
I think he'd be sitting second.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what to do with it, but obviously he can win. I loved his dam. You know what his dam is? Do you remember his dam?
Flashing.
Richie's good friend Richard Migliore.
It's the last grade one winner for Richie.
He won the She won the test and the Gazelle. She made like 5-1 in the Gazelle, 4 or 5. I know I actually bet her in both races. I love Flashing. She was a cool horse. But she's the last grade one winner.
I've heard Richie.
It's good that you knew that. Did Richie tell you that, or did you actually know that?
I Richie's mentioned it maybe one, maybe twice actually, or maybe give or take.
In the last day, or I'm proud of Richie too.
He's driving back from. Did you watch his Fox and Friends appearance?
You know, I missed Fox and Friends this morning.
I know you rarely miss.
Number. Race number 5, I am not betting against Shea Pierre. I'm not sure who your long shot for second is, but I don't have it.
You don't really have a handle on anybody that you think is the right player in here? Beyond him?
I would pick Philo Diarra, but I'm worried that horse has never run well outside of Canada.
Is that fair? Well.
Yes. The races outside of Canada are decidedly worse. I mean, the Brazilian ones were pretty good. I wasn't there for those races, but I spoke to some of my sources. I have no idea. It bothered me a little bit, but, I mean, they were better fields. I think that he's dangerous in the front end as the other horse. The problem is that the favorite is also forward, so isn't the favorite going to swallow him up top the stretch and then sort of caught my stand? What is my big knock on Emmanuel?
Emmanuel and Emirati are the other two, I thought.
Yeah, but they're going to be like second and third choices, so I'm
Emmanuel's what? Fio is 4-1, Emmanuel 9-2.
Let's move on, or I'm going to be on for 3 weeks with you.
The Brooklyn.
I actually do have a busy day, by the way. I know it feels like we're not racing, but I do have things to do. Work-related. Not totally slacking here, my friend.
I thought it was very nice to move the Brooklyn onto the undercard of the Belmont Stakes. It's a nod to the figure makers.
Steve, it's been on the undercard for about 15 years, right?
Well, it was on Fridays. It was on Fridays for a while.
No, it wasn't. It was, but not recently.
Okay.
Recent year to move. Right. You're right. There was that crazy Brooklyn where that horse won from 100 lengths behind in the slot. Remember that race?
Calibrachoa?
Yeah. That crate, right?
Wow, I just pulled an Andy Serling. I didn't have to look. I just, bam! It was on the tip of my tongue. Calibrachoa.
Calibrachoa. It's very hard for me to make a case outside of Red Run. And you know what Red Run has from a pedigree standpoint, right?
He's the full brother to Red Route 1 later in the day.
Doesn't that make Red Route 1 a little bit interesting in that maybe he's going to really improve in a mile and a half? It's worth at least noting. I mean, I'm not making a case for anybody outside of Red Run, Next, Warrant, or Calibrate. I'm going to try to get Calibrate home first time for Jamie Ness. I thought his race 2 back was good enough, and he was out in the middle of the track the whole way last time, and that race was sort of inside-y. I don't have a big knock on Warrant. I picked Red Run second. I didn't love Next because I think he's been most effective when he can control, and with Bright Future in here, it's hard to see him controlling.
Right. I can see that.
But I'm going to try Calibrate. Do you have some clever idea here?
I do not. You basically hit all the all of my interesting parties.
So, I am never against Clarier because, as you know, I have great. And I think she's the worst to beat to win back-to-back Phippses. You know, it's interesting to note, she was able to win the Apple Blossom under less than perfect circumstance. And she figures to get at least an honest enough pace here. The ones her races are going to always be a little better for her. But I'm going to bet search results. And listen, I understand, you know, I'm a big search results fan. And it's not just a personal thing as much as, in my opinion, if she's able to run back to her Phipps last year, she's going to win this race. You know, her Phipps was a brilliant performance in defeat. And her last race is a very interesting race, and I think it's an important discussion about the Derby Day card. If you look at the early race, there is absolutely a reasonable argument that you wanted to be inside. And I believe that's very much why Flavian stayed towards the rail. He was probably in the rail, the two path. And if you look at the first two finishers, they were out in the middle of the track. They weren't in the three path. They were in the six or seven path, probably. And I think that if you look at that card from then on, there's an argument you did not want to be inside of the dirt. And think how the Kakios was run, you know?
Yep.
And so I think there's a very reasonable chance that she was compromised by being inside last time. And she is also a horse that last year improved dramatically in her second start.
Yep.
I think we can put the debacle in the Breeders' Cup behind her. It's an inexplicably bad race, like her race in the Distaff. Her other races, all good enough to win, and she's going to be a fair price.
Agreed.
I respect Played Hard, but I think the search results will beat her. I respect Secret Oath, but Secret Oath already had three tough races this year, you know?
Yep.
And we'll see. You know, she is a horse that tailed off after a tough campaign last year. She double raced at Oaklawn, so she obviously is good enough to be a factor in here, or even win, but I'm going to try to beat her. The wild card is Past the Champagne, whose last race was legitimately good. And I think it's fair to say with Past the Champagne, it's a horse that was cut out to be very, very good. I mean, she took a brutal beat to Malathot in just her third career start, and she's finally putting races together. I mean, this is the longest stretch of her career since the beginning when things went wrong in the Kentucky Oaks. So just be dismissive of her might be a mistake. I'm not going to be shocked when she runs well, but I'm picking search results. Oh, barrier.
The jockey that whose last grade one win was on Flashing just walked in, Andy, as it happens.
Well, I'm happy to hang up if you want to talk to Richie.
No, he's early. He's a little early, and so he's
going to talk to Richie.
Exactly. But he's going
to
listen.
Richie,
all right. No, let's push into the Woody Stevens, and
I'm going to change. I'll be back.
Oh, you're going to change. All right, that's perfect. Perfect. Excellent. He's going to go. Unbelievable. Hold on. We'll get Andy back. We'll do the Woody Stevens and the Jiper, which is about as crazy pair. Andy.
Well, I think the Woody is obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of pace in here. There's clearly good horses. Arabian Lion may well be the horse to beat. I don't have a knock on General Jim. He ran well off the layoff last time. He's probably going to get the right trip with a race that's going to have pace in here. I don't think there's an argument that he ran better than Fort Bragg, who had trouble at the start last time, was in the teeth of the pace, can probably rate effectively. And, I mean, I think he's the worst to beat, but there are others in here. Listen, Federal Judge.
Uh-huh.
Huge race last time. A good horse, but he's also a horse that could be a bit of a pace casualty in here. I'm not against Gilmore. If you think this race is going to come apart, to just be dismissive of Gilmore might be a rare chance to get Irad Ortiz at a square price. And I'll tell you something else. Drew's Gold is very good, and I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle because he doesn't have any sexiness like a lot of these other horses do. But his last race was extremely impressive, and if he runs his last race, this field could be in trouble. So this, to me, is a very, very stern, very, very strong race.
Very much so. And, you know, even there's even nibblers like, what do we make of Harrodsburg for Rob Atrus?
Well, I mean, obviously he's good. I think we'll get an idea. I have trouble with the figure of his last race. I know, you know, the horse who won, listen to my heart, ran 100 times before it. You know, whether he ran that figure or not, we'll find out because he's run the day before. And he's probably going to be a pace casualty, but I'm not going to deny that he's talented.
Yeah, just the way you got to look under.
I think the New York Thunder first time in the dirt is talented horse. It's just a very tough spot. But there's going to be a lot of horses, a lot of good horses that are going to finish well off the board in this race. This is a very, very tough race. Came up a super, super race.
It's a lot of fun.
The Jiper as well. I mean, I don't understand Caravelle in here. I hope she's favored. Box the field if she's favored at all bets, and you'll cash. But the one, I think, issue I have with Cass and Creed is that his best race, he's the horse to beat. But he won last year with maybe as good a ride as Luis Saez has ever given, probably as good a ride as any rider has ever given. And he had post four, so getting the rail wasn't a problem. Breaking from post 11, working out that same kind of trip is not going to be easy. Big Invasion had an impossibly bad trip last time, and you know, this horse is a three-year-old, was running figures that are good enough to give him a chance, so I certainly wouldn't discount him as a major player. I think nothing better is a hard knocker. I'm a little interested in Dr. Zemp as an alternative, though. I kind of like him on the cutback. These kind of work. He kind of ran off last time, and I'm thinking maybe the cutback lets him settle a little bit. Did you have an opinion in here?
You pretty much, you know, hit it. I thought that, I mean, we both would love to see Casa Creed win a third straight for Lee.
You always want your friends to do well, but you can't allow that to cloud your handicapping.
Well, it's somehow
you can't, you know. And I think that I worry that Casa Creed have a tough time working out the same trip. And there's an argument. This is a tougher race than last year, Steve.
Yeah, no, I hear it. At the same time, there is going to be the pace that...
great in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, he did.
Terrific horse.
Second year in a row that he's done that.
He probably should be favored. I don't get Carabelle at all. Do you get
it? It seems to me like it's a bridge too far, but
we've been wrong before.
Well, I mean, the sixth furlong is a different Jaipur. I mean,
also had extraordinarily comfortable trips in the front end in her races.
Yes, she has, especially last time.
Especially the Breeders' Cup, where speed's rated in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. That's where we've gotten to now in racing. They're rating speed horses in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Andy, let's get the Met, the Manhattan, and the Belmont, the big three. The voice of Tom Durkin will grace the airwaves.
Number two, his first race back, a 14-horse turf sprint. I'm not against Cody's wish. I'm going to take a small shot against him in picks, but I don't see any reason that he isn't way the horse to beat. A one-turn mile is absolutely perfect for him. I think that Zandon's going to get more pace to run at. The problem is he has a similar style of the favorite, so he's going to have to run better than him. And he has run some fast figures in the past, but I'm going to give Chargent his last chance. This is the make or break day for Chargent.
I think the barn knows that too.
Yeah, this is the race he has to run well in. He may run well and she'll come up second best, but he needs to run well in here. This is, you know, you think about the Dwyer last year, and he's also, I know that the pace projector has a fast pace. I'm never confident there will be fast paces, and I know that he can be forward. So I think this is the day to take a shot with him. His price will be okay, and I'm going to take a small shot with him. Do you have an opinion here?
But there's just a lot of horses that I have affection for in here and respect for. Mark Glatt, Dr. Scheibel, making this choice. I appreciate. You know, one thing that's refreshing, Andy, when was the last time, other than like a Breeders' Cup, where you'd have a race like this, you got six horses coming off of races where they earned triple-digit buyers? Six of them.
This is the race. You know, this is the race it's supposed to be, right?
Do we want to take a referendum on Repo Rocks?
No. Let's move on to the Manhattan.
All right.
I don't want to. We're cutting into Richie's time.
No, he's not here. He went to change. He went to change out of the suit.
Oh, okay.
And Joe Longo's next anyway.
I certainly don't want to cut into Joe's time. So, let's see. I don't have a strong opinion against the favorite up to the mark. He's been terrific.
Yes, he has.
I think the field's a little tougher than it was last time, and he's got to get the extra furlong, but I don't see any reason to have a big, strong opinion against him.
No.
But I am going to pick Warren Point, who I actually was against in the Man of War, just not with the right horse. and I think had a real trip that day. I know he had a real trip that day. You know, and it's not just not breaking, it's the running off of the backstretch and making the big wide sweep to the end, blah, 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 blah. So I think, you know, he's a...
I 100% agree.
You know, I think he's the one. I prefer him to the other Godolphin. So,
and you're getting the only other 5 to 1. Course.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick... I like Warren Point. As far as the Belmont, I know I'm picking on top. I am still mildly in flux on the other horses. I am going to pick Hitchin here.
So I like it.
He was forward last time in the Derby. I think he ran a very respectable race there. I see no reason that he can't be, you know, the worst to beat in here. I'm not going to be surprised when Tappet Trice wins this race, but he's going to vie for favoritism in here off a terrible effort with no excuse. So just the, he's a Tappet, Todd Fletcher's race run great in the Belmont, all of those being true. I mean, Todd's record, not just with winners, but with runners-up, you know, with Destin and Commissioner at big prices, horses overperform for Todd in the Belmont. I mean, he hasn't quite done what Woody did, but he's showing the mastery of this race in very much, you know. I mean, arguably, he solved this race as well as anybody, at least in modern times. But I'm supposed to take this horse at 5-2 or 3-1 off his last effort, really?
He was
horrendous in the Derby.
I completely feel the same way, and I think,
are you gonna be stubborn? I think Arcangelo is not impossible to get a piece in here.
Yep.
I don't know why we're supposed to take a big stand against him.
Yep.
He's got the pedigree go long, and his last race was good, and why this race is so full of killers that you're like gonna be sure he can't run another big race. So I'm against National Treasure. He's got to deal with Tappet Shoes. I'm against Forte, who I don't think is a mile and a half horse. I had some concerns after his last race. I understand that he hasn't missed training particularly. Maybe he missed a day, you know, so that mitigates a little bit, but he still hasn't run in 10 weeks. And I think for a horse that's going to not be favored, vie for favoritism, there are an awful lot of question marks. And I didn't love his last race. I don't think Angel Empire, he's not a win horse I would take as a win candidate, but you have to be honest, this guy just runs well. You know, like Forte, he runs well, but I'm more confident that he will handle the distance than Forte. And listen, I don't want to completely disregard the fact that Red Rat 1 has a pedigree that says he's going to handle it based on the other horse. And he did run a funny race in the Preakness, right? I mean, it's far and away the best race he's ever run. And he was even closer to the slow pace, but even... You know, so do we want to completely toss him out? He's not my type, but I'm not going to be surprised when he runs better than I would normally have expected.
No, it's a fun Belmont, and it's a nice cast.
Yeah, listen, I'm against Forte, but I'm glad he's running.
Yes.
He is the team in this race.
Yes.
And, you know, you can certainly understand the incredible frustration from his connections for what happened in the Derby.
Yep.
Even if, you know, the whole thing was fair to scratch him. It's you get that close, and I may not be skeptical that he would have won the Derby, but if I owned him and Mage won the Derby, I'd have been plenty pissed. You know? I think it's more than fair.
I hear you. I hear.
Just beat the person who won the Derby twice.
I hear
you. And you know, I couldn't run, so I get it. You know, he's just not my cup of tea in this race.
Andy Serling, everybody, Andy and Sarah, tomorrow and Saturday, and Fox wall-to-wall coverage. Andy, thank you.
All right. Have fun with the rest of my coworkers.
Exactly. Andy Serling, everybody, and you're set. Let's head to the break, our only one of the morning. Joe Longo is going to join us next. Rich Migliori is coming by as well. We're going to finally catch up with Richard Mandela, who we were supposed to be on Tuesday and then Wednesday. So we'll catch up with Dick Mandela and much, much more. Let's head out from Belmont and come back Thursday. No racing. The cancellation, but that's all right. We're going to have two terrific days of racing. I won't even call it a truncated festival because Sunday, the front end became the back end of this year's Belmont Racing Festival. Back to Belmont after this.
There we go.
Are you off air? Can I help you transition?
I gotta just unplug.
Yep.
And unplug.
No, I just.
Yep. What would you like me to use here?
I'm going to take a shot here that I'm not hearing from.